give you a little journey today about who we are, but more importantly, about who he is, the King of Glory. We all know he's the king. How many of you know he's the king? But there's a few dynamics we don't really think about him being the king. And I'm going to try to share some of those dynamics and why God has put this kind of word in this church and why he's called us on this path that none of us knew we'd be this long into. I remember when the revelations in the beginning were so new. At the time, we didn't have the ground like we have now. Our ground's like a sponge around here. You can just soak it in. You can just speak it. In the early days, you couldn't do that. And it's pretty awesome. We have a very fertile ground around here. But a birth is, I don't want to say coming anymore. We're like right in the middle of it. We're where the waters are breaking, you know, that kind of thing. You ladies know, you don't know when it happens. It's boom, you're ready. It's there. It's suddenly. But we're getting the forerunning tremors of the suddenly, feeling it in the spirit. And when the Holy Spirit fell out in the early church, Peter said this was spoken of the prophet Joel, you know. Nobody even knew. He just fell out on them. But the apostles knew because the Lord told them what this was. They knew what they were delivering. Peter knew his first sermon, what was coming out. This outpouring that's coming is going to be more than just an outpouring of presence. It's going to be more than just an overshadowing or renewal, or we're not going to go back to Azusa Street. That was a restoration to get us where we are now. But there is another outpouring. And people have to know what that outpouring is and what it's going to do. Because this outpouring has a very specific, it's another baptism coming in. It's a baptism into the house of God. Royalty. If you like what you hear, bless this house, because we give these things freely. Amen. Acts 1, verse 6. He was standing in front of them in a resurrected state. He's about to ascend to the Father forever. He'd been among them for 50-something days. He's pulled them aside 3, 4, 5, 6 times. I think Peter saw him 6 different times. And he spoke to him different things in those times. But in Acts 1, right before he left, they asked him a question. And this question was the problem of why the Jews did not receive him in the first place. Verse 6, they therefore were gathered together. They asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? You have to understand, even with them following him around, they all had a preconceived notion of what their Messiah was going to look like. They were a providence of Rome at the time. They were not in their glory like they were in the days of David and Solomon. Cody said something this morning that was really remarkable, because in the day of Solomon, a whole world witnessed a divine government coming out of heaven with the administration of arts, worship, wisdom, poetry, commerce, preaching, teaching, the ascension into visible glory. There was a commerce. It was like a stock exchange right there in the center of Jerusalem, and all wealth would come in. And God had so exceedingly magnified that house. And he gave them prophecies after their fall that house would restore. And he said, once again, the silver is mine, the gold is mine. I'll shake all nations. And the glory of the latter-day house will be greater than Solomon's house. So they were waiting on their king to arrive, to bring them out from under Roman occupation. They were ready for their king to take over, rule and reign in the earth. And that was their mindset. So when Christ was born, they had a hard time receiving him because of their belief system of who he was. He wasn't the reigning king. And they had problems because there was a whole lot of prophecies. I pulled out maybe 3 or 4 in this teaching. There's hundreds of them concerning him being the Messiah, the king, that would restore and sit on David's throne forever. But he wasn't on David's throne. He was born in the lineage of David, but he never sat on David's throne in his earthly ministry. And that's a big reason why they couldn't receive him all that time. So in his resurrection, now his disciples are asking him, hey, Are you going to do it now? Is now the time? Now is the time you're going to restore Israel to her glory, bring us out from under Roman occupation, show the world who you are as God. That's what they're thinking. Now that you're resurrected, you can do this. And he said something remarkable to them. He said unto them, verse 7, it is not for you to know. It's not for your generation, is what he said, to know the times and the seasons which the Father has put under his power. He did not say he was not going to do that. He just said, it's not for you to know. This is not what your generation's about. He said, but your generation is about this. You're going to receive power. Wait for it. It's coming. The Holy Ghost. They'd be my eyewitnesses of my resurrection, of my ascension. That's what you're going to bear witness of. You're going to bear witness of a new creation and my ascension into the throne of the Father. You're going to lay the foundation of something that's coming later. They said, but that's not for your generation. They were not called to establish the house of David at that time. They were not called to reestablish it. It wasn't their call. They were called to multiply a new breed of creation in the earth. Men that would be called out of Adam's race. See, he was not going to set up his throne any longer. See, under David and Solomon, it was a foreshadowing. He was not going to set up his throne with spiritually dead men. He was going to create a brand new race of people. New creations, born in the image of God, able to ascend and descend, walk up and down in the name of God, able to dwell with God in the right hand of God, able to move in power, glory, and wisdom here in the earth. It was a whole new dynamic, and the early church's call was to preach and to explain his ascension and just who you are in Christ, because they were a whole race of people that were born in works all their life. All they did was struggle with works, law. Suddenly, it's a dispensation of grace is at hand. It took a whole generation to get over that. They fought with them and fought and fought. Even Peter would go back and Paul had to call him out on it. It wasn't their time. But it is our time. There is a generation that will behold and witness the arrival of the King of Kings back into the earth. He was not doing that at that time. He was removing the house of David from the earth. He wasn't bringing it in. He was about to have it reassigned to him in the heavens. So I want to look at a few prophecies for those that probably listened to me for the first time wondering what this outpouring is. It hasn't happened yet, but by faith it has. Praise God. Let's look at a couple of scriptures in the Old. There's literally hundreds of these. He spoke a lot. Out of 1 Chronicles chapter 17, it shall come to pass, verse 11, when the days be expired, thou must go to be with thy fathers. He's speaking to David here, and I will raise up thy seed after they, which shall be thy sons, and I will establish his kingdom. Now David at the time thinking this was speaking of Solomon. And he shall build me a house, and I will establish his throne. It was speaking of Solomon, but he says, I'm going to establish his throne for what? Forever. See, that's what the Jews were looking for, because he did do that. Solomon did do that. But it was lost, and they were looking for the resurgence of it. Verse 14, and I will settle him in my house and in my kingdom for what? Ever. And his throne shall be established, what? Forevermore. So God is speaking, and he swore to David, by the way, that your throne will not fail. A man will not fail to sit upon your throne forever. So it really, 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 really threw the Jews a loop, the Jewish nation. In 70 AD, it all was removed. Their whole priesthood, city, everything was removed. Even the fields were burned to the ground. It threw them because God said forever. And they don't really, the ones who don't believe in Christ, how to reconcile what happened. Because God swore a man would sit on the throne forever. But their whole priesthood, their city, their kingdom was cut short. It was cut off. It was actually cut off in the days of Nebuchadnezzar. The kings were not ruling any longer. This is the part of their heritage they don't quite fully understand. The reason they didn't believe in Jesus is because they didn't understand what was being said here. Go to Psalms 89, verse 35. Once I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon and as a faithful witness. Where? They were not discerning what God was saying. The throne was going to be forever. The seed would be forever. But they always looked at it going on forever in the earth. They didn't see what God had planned. And had they understood, they had received Jesus immediately. Zechariah 9 said it like this. Rejoice, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh. Now look how specifically this is. He is just, having salvation, lowly riding upon an ass, upon a colt, and the foal of a donkey. Speaking specifically of his triumphal entry. Spoke of it. He said, your king cometh. Called him a king. Your king is coming in. But see, they had this mindset that this king was going to overrule the nations and return them to the glory days of Solomon. That's what they wanted. And he is. He just wasn't going to do it the way they thought he was going to do it. How many times do we think God's going to do it the way we thought he would do it? Hey, one of the most powerful verses in all of the old speaking of this is Isaiah 9, one of my favorites. Pray it all the time. Verse 6. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders. That's the key of the house of David government. Remember, it was upon Eliakim's shoulders and none shall shut. Key of the house of David, spoken again in Revelation. It's upon his shoulders. Key of the house of David. The government is on his shoulders now. His name is called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Just so you know, that's not talking about his father. He's the father. And on into Isaiah, it'll call him the father of the inhabitants of Israel. So, this is speaking of the Lord here. Verse 7, of the increase in government and peace, get ready, because this is about the birth out in our generation. There is no end. What does he say? Upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish with judgment and justice from henceforth and forever. The government's on his shoulders. He's going to establish the throne of David in the earth. He just didn't do that in the generation of his ascension. He was taking the throne out of the earth, not bringing it into the earth. I'm going to show that to you. It wasn't for their generation. There's another baptism coming. That was the baptism of the early church. There's another one coming. A baptism into royalty. We're going to move now to Luke. We're going to go to the New Testament. But he speaks specifically of a king that would rule, receive the sure mercies of David, and rule from his throne forever. And it didn't happen. But we all see him as King of Kings. We sing the songs at Christmas time. But we don't think about the fact that the promises of Christ being a king, that he would sit on the throne of David, and that God would not fail for a man to sit on that throne forever. He had to inherit that throne. But he did not inherit it in his natural ministry. He never sat on David's throne. He came as a servant. He came as the priest. He came as the lowly servant, but Zechariah said, behold, your king is riding in on the foal of a donkey. He's coming in. If you can discern it, that's him. But they're all looking at, ooh, he's ready. Let's take up arms. Let's move this Roman occupation out. That's what they were wanting. They wanted under, out from under Roman occupation rule. They wanted the days of Solomon. If you can believe this, the church has been promised a season to rule under a greater mantle than even Solomon's day. And it's going to arrive into the earth through you. If you don't know that it's in the waters, it won't come out of the waters. If you know there is a government in those waters and understand exactly what he's doing in the time and the seasons, you'll be ready. Luke, this is really beautiful. Now we're going to see what happened here. Something happened at the resurrection of the Lord. Luke 1, verse 30. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary. For thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive, verse 31, in thy womb they'll bring forth a son. This is Isaiah's prophecy. You shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great. Watch what he says to her. And shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord thy God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. What is he going to give him? Who's going to give it to him? You know, every king that received it before, preceded by birthright, didn't have to be given. They were born into it. God gave that. The Father gave it to him. He said, the Father will give him the throne. Say, the throne. Mary, I've got the Messiah. In her mind, he's going to deliver us from Roman occupation. We're returning to the days of Solomon. Can you imagine? That whole generation was obsessed with that. And that's what they thought he was. And when he come on the scene, filled with the Holy Ghost, and doing everything but that, they were losing all that he was doing in translation. If we don't understand what God's about to do in our generation, we'll lose the translation of what he wants to do. We have to see what he's doing. We have to hone in it. We got to get our belief system in line, our frequency in line with what he's doing in our generation. We are a generation like no other generation. We are a chosen royal priesthood to show forth the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. She tells him he's going to sit on the throne of his David. God's going to give him the throne of David. Oh my God, a king is being born in me. He was a king, but they didn't understand what was going on. God left an entire generation in a mystery. He was not there to establish that throne at that time. He was there to take that throne out of the earth. And they couldn't, nobody knew it. They stumbled. A lot of them had a problem with it. So why they didn't believe on him right there. He didn't explain it all to them. They tried, but they couldn't have ears to hear. Verse 33, and he shall reign, look at this, over the house of Jacob forever. See, without revelation, without insight into God's mysteries, you won't understand what he's doing. We have to have insight and revelation into the mystery of what God's doing. He keeps things in a mystery. I don't know why he does it, but that's the way he is. He likes to keep things in a mystery until it's time to reveal it. And then he'll shout it to the world. You won't have to build this house. Nobody will. God will shout what's birthed out of this house to the world. So you can see he says the same thing to Mary. But still, there's this dynamic that he didn't do this in his generation. He did not sit on the throne of David. He did not rule from the, and he went on out into heaven. That's why they asked him when he's in a resurrected form. This is just one of the last things they asked him. Are you going to do this now? Finally? Look, we watched you for 3 years. You died. You're resurrected. You qualify. You've raised from the dead. You qualify. Now are you ready to deliver us from the Roman Empire? Return us to Solomon, oh, King of glory. Then when he tells them it's not for you to know, that's not for your generation. We're fulfilling a mystery. You're going to have to really understand who you are because we just changed everything about you. My Father and I changed the dynamic of who you are. You're no longer an old creation. You're no longer a person with the law of sin and death operating in your spirit. You're a new creation now. You have access in the heavenlies now. I'm not going to rule out of a natural throne with natural people anymore. I'm changing. I'm moving from Adam to Christ. And we're going to rule out of this new creation thing. But as for the house of David, that's not for your generation. Now, Peter, they get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost shows up. He is downloading. They've got their hard drives positioned with God, and he is downloading. They're taking the entire Old Testament and revealing Christ out of it. So Peter gets up, and he's preaching this amazing message, but then he gets into something. Woo! He gets in to start talking about the very problem that generation was having with this Christ. You crucified him. You didn't know who he was. Acts 2, verse 25. Peter's right in the middle of his message. 3,000 people are going to get born again off this message. If God could do that without social media, what do you think he can do with social media? I mean, it took Asbury a week for everybody to know about Asbury. A fountain ready to burst. It's releasing a few things. But he's about to reveal something in our generation like never before. But we got to find out what happened. Acts 2, for David speaketh, verse 25, concerning him. I foresaw the Lord always before my face. He's reading out of Psalm 16. That I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh rest in hope. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will I suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Verse 11 adds another one. It says in Psalm 16, at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Whoever he was speaking of would not see corruption. And so Peter is bringing out, this is the one they were talking about. His body would not receive corruption. But he's the heir. He's the king. Verse 28. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. You make me full of joy with your countenance. And he goes on to say, at thy right hand of God, there are pleasures forevermore. That's a big part of that. Because this king was ascended to where? The right hand of God. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to the patriarch David. He's both dead and buried till now. Being a prophet, knowing... Verse 30, that God had sworn an oath to him of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Verse 31 is so pivotal. Verse 31, he, David, watch this, seeing therefore spake what? Of the resurrection of Christ, his soul was not left in hell. He ascended to the right hand of God where there are pleasures forevermore. He was specifically prophesying the king that would sit upon the throne of David would not sit in an earthly place. It would be sitting at the right hand of God. Meaning God reassigned that entire throne. He took a natural lineage, a natural throne, a natural government, reassigned it into the heavens, made it spiritual, made it invisible to you. Heaven could see it, but you couldn't. There's a crown there. It's visible to heaven. It's visible in the Word, invisible here. He took all that throne, all that kingdom, all that government, all that crown. He took it up in the heavens. That's when Daniel saw him. He went before the Ancient of Days, the Father of Light, and there was given to him a kingdom, a glory, a dominion. It was an everlasting dominion. You know what he's talking about? He gave him the house of David. That's why he said to him who has the key to the house of David. It was given to him. That's why he said, I will set my king upon the holy hill of Zion. Christ, when he ascends into the holy hill of Zion at the right hand of God, when he ascended the ancient days, what did the Father say? The first thing he said in Psalms 2, ask of me the nations of thine inheritance, the uttermost parts of the earth is thy possession. I have to reassign everything to you right now. All peoples reassigned to you. All nations reassigned to you. All kingdoms reassigned to you. All uttermost parts of the earth reassigned, I will set my king, the appointed heir of all things. God reassigned everything. The race of Adam is dead as far as God's concerned. We are a new creation, but all of it's yours. He spiritualized it. Where did David's throne go? Poof, it's gone. The crown's gone. The scepter's gone. The throne's gone. It's spiritual now. It's in the realm of the invisible, which is more powerful than this realm. It's a real living throne. They sit on it up there. He has a real living crown upon him up there. He has a scepter up there. He sits on the throne of David in the heavens. Man's throne. When David saw what God was doing, I don't know when God let him in on what he did, but he just took my son and mine's throne into the heavens forever. He's spiritualized. But it's real. That's why he said he blesses you with all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly realm. Why? Because God planted that. He started with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. You know the story. Their wives buried in Mount Hebron. Caleb goes and inherits the mountain during Caleb's time. Then David goes and gets crowned in that mountain. The mountain forges the crown. Then he gives it to Solomon, and bam, there's the glory of their nation. Their lineage, everything. Christ, I'll bring a seed out of Jacob, out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains. I'm going to take it all up. Christ is the inheritor. He's the original inheritor. God woke me up the other morning, just woke up. My eyes were like bright. He goes, you are no longer an architect. So he said to me, you are an inheritor. He goes, you were an architect. You were called to lay a foundation. That's not your call. You're an inheritor. So that throne was put up in the heavens. The king, when he asked the Father, he went into the Ancient of Days, he asked, and God reassigned it all to him. Gave him a name that was above every name. Put it all up there. What do you think it means when he says you were raised together with him? Made to sit together. You're not sitting on a stool up there. You're not sitting on a couch. You're sitting on the right hand of the majesty upon high. That throne of David, you've been invited and already given a seat. In the heavens. Raised together. Made already to sit together. He gave us access. And you could rule and reign out of that place. But there was going to come a day. Acts 13 talked about the resurrection too. You can read it. Reference. Psalms 2, the king. But then there was going to come a day. The important part was it wasn't for that generation. Didn't happen that generation. Didn't happen in any generation. But there was going to come a generation that would see the return of the king. To see the return of the king means that everything that just got spiritualized, we're going to have to be naturalized. Everything that was invisible has to become visible again. Everything that you can't see has to, what he says, you will see power to be my witnesses of my resurrection. There's another generation, he didn't say this, but it was in his mind, that's going to be given power to witness my return. Do you think he's going to open those books in heaven and not tell anybody? Do you think, honestly, the book of Revelation is going to get open in the tribulation without God telling somebody? You know how God tells that story? With signs, miracles, wonders, such nobody can do or nobody's doing. Way beyond anything anybody else is doing, he's going to witness that power, that glory. Now, ultimately, he's returning to rule for 1,000 years. He's also returning to judge the nations. There will be a 7-year judgment. And the wickedness we're seeing, and the abomination, you think, what's going on with the transgender thing? You think they're going to stop that? That could very well be the image man will be made to bow down to in the 7-year tribulation. I don't know that, but the way they're pushing that right now, good news, you won't be here. But I have a lot to say because the witness factor, God took me through the book of Revelation, through his witness, not through judgment. He said, just see it from my witness and you'll understand. There's 3 predominant witnesses of the last days. The church of the King of glory. The church will witness the King. He's not going to set his feet down for everyone to see him until the Mount of Olives. When he stamps down, they'll all see him. The invisible will be made visible. And then he'll rule out of Jerusalem for 1,000 years. We will rule with him. Amen? But before that, there's going to be a witness of his arrival. And he has to bring legally that crown, legally has to be brought back into the earth. That throne has to be legally brought back into the earth. That inheritance going all the way back to Abraham legally has to be brought back in the earth. If you be Christ, you're Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise, all that God did, all that he inherited, all that you received, raised together, made to sit together. It brings a little bit new meaning when you go up into the presence of the Father with the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. This gospel of this kingdom will be preached to the utter ends of the world, and then the end will come. The gospel of the kingdom. This kingdom gospel, this returning king is going to be put on the forefront of everything. But he's not going to give it in words. There's no sense in taking this message out to the world until it's commissioned. We were commissioned to lay a foundation. There's another commissioning going. When you're commissioned to take it out, he'll back what you're saying with signs, miracles, wonders, and power that nobody has seen. To give a demonstration and a testimony. This king is back. He's back. He's going to announce his arrival through his church. There are some very specific promises concerning the church. That he is going to crown a church in the last days with the house of David. To do that will require a bit of a baptism. Wouldn't you say? He has to bring something that's invisible, way beyond our pay grade, into the realm of visible with the pay grade. And it has to reveal every part of the house of David and Solomon. All of that has to return, and a church has to give eyewitness account.
I believe the King of Glory will make his appearance known again, both in heaven and in the earth. He will come now as the King of Glory.
He's coming to bear witness of, we are bearing witness of a different kind of glory, not just as his ascension, but his descension, his return into the earth. Where is the crown? It's sitting in the right hand of God. Now get this, don't miss this. Look at your neighbor. It has to legally come back to the earth. It's not just going to drop in. He requires a God kind of faith that we have been trained for many years as a body and other people too, to not only see what he's doing, access what he's doing, represent Constitution, what he's doing, understand what he's doing. Some people in the presence go, oh, the presence of God, that's revival. This revival is the return of a baptism of the house of David. That means one day you will be Jacob, the next day you're going to be Israel. One day you're going to be, and this baptism is going to make you Israel royalty. There's a baptism of royalty spoken in Zechariah 4, spoken in Zechariah 6, spoken in Zechariah 10, spoken in Revelation chapter 5. Spoken in Revelation chapter 4. Say spoken. Baptism of royalty. It is for your generation now to know the time and the season God has put under his authority. He's already confirmed it twice in the last 3 years that the time is at hand for the prophetic generation to come out of Babylon and enter their promised land to fulfill Zechariah 2 has to be fulfilled. Once again, I'll shake the heavens and the earth, sea and dry land. The treasures of all nations will come in my house, and the glory of the latter day house of Solomon will be greater than Solomon's house. Say greater. Greater worship, greater wealth, greater presence, greater glory, greater wisdom. Great grace, greater commerce, greater poetry, greater arts. Do you understand one of the greatest dynamics of Solomon's house was the government of harmony by which everybody operated under a kingdom harmony in the earth? That's what they wanted. Come, do this. Remove all these people and bring this in. God said, I'm going to do this by changing you from within. But I'm still going to bring it. He promised.
Revelations 3, and we'll close. Remember, John is at a throne that's spiritual, invisible to natural people. He's the first century man looking at the throne of David, Christ sitting on it. In Revelations 5, he walks out the book of Revelations. God translated him 2,000 years. I don't know how John's going to do this. I mean, I don't understand this, but John's actually going to relive what he already lived. God translated him in his face to God, and he literally was there in our future, interacting. He didn't just see this as a vision. He was there. He was crying, weeping. You know the story. But John is going to actually relive all that. Second time. All right. Revelations 3, so pivotal. This is a church. Before that, he sees seven stars in the right hand of God. Where are they? But he said, these are my angels, but the word really is messengers. There were messengers to each church age. We're one of those messengers. You're a star. A messenger that sat at the right hand of God to reveal the church age that would walk up and down like Zechariah 10. They would walk up and down and be strengthened in the name. They would go to and fro once the seven spirits of God entered into the earth. That's the baptism. From him who was and is to come. That's the Father. From the seven spirits of God. That's the Holy Spirit. And from Jesus. Greetings. Okay, listen, this throne that he sits on, that you've been raised together with, it's spiritual, that you're supposed to go up there and ask the Father for thy kingdom to come. You're a generation that knows you're the time. We have a constitution that we represent every day up there before God to see this kingdom that's invisible return into our generation as a testimony of the visible demonstration of the house of David. Its wealth, its glory, its power, its government, its worship. There are going to be songs and sounds coming out of the right hand of God in the last days. They're going to baffle man. Presences coming out. Well, the cherubim of heaven will come down on the earth and swirl around the services. Say, worship the great God Jehovah. And they'll bring the presence right out of the realm of glory. Because the house of David now is coming down on the earth. And Christ is going to mediate it. He's got to bring it in where people can see it, touch it, feel it, taste it. It's going to have wealth unimaginable. You understand in the days of Solomon, they had stones that they sat on made of pure silver because it was worthless. There was so much of it. When God gets ready to multiply, he goes, he'll blow on something. And when he blows, one wind of him and you'll be sailing for a whole century. They that go down to the sea, they do business in great waters. These see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. Let's go to, so you're seeing that he's got to get this thing back in the earth. He has to have faith. He has to have somebody that knows what he's doing, that understands the mystery of the crown. He's got to know somebody, the generation is coming. He is coming, a whole generation that's going to represent him. And they got to know, they got to understand how to move in the heavenlies, how to represent in the heaven, because we got to bring this thing from heaven back down. It has to come. It is our calling. If you want to know, O Father's house, who we are, this is principle. Number one, primary calling is to birth the crown. How many of you know what I mean now by the crown? That has to come out, in, through, bam. And it's got to be done by faith. And believe me, I tried it 1,000 ways. It's coming back. This body, believe it or not, there might be 500 bodies like this. I don't know. We have to receive this. This is who we are. Zechariah 4 said, so the hand, plural, because it was a we movement. There was not a me movement. It was a we movement. Laid the foundation of this latter-day house. The hands do finish. The foundation was laid. There is a finishing coming. Because Christ is about to bring out now the crowning glory of the church. As the glory comes out, he's going to bring out the glorious, the invisible crown. He's wearing it right now. He's going to give it to a church. He's going to bring a witness to the world. His arrival is imminent. He's going to open the books in our generation. Right before the 7-year tribulation, he's going to unleash the greatest single move of God ever the world has ever seen. In the restoration of the house of David, the kings and priests will rule and reign in the earth before we're lifted out of here. Don't look at what you see out there. It looks like they're taking over. But that harlot that's trying to control the world is the Babylonian harlot. She's made up of media elites. She's made up of banking elites, political elites, corporation CEO elites. They're trying to rule the world and create their kingdom and their agenda. And right now they're making it known God is going to interrupt that whole thing. There is a mass interruption coming. When this crown comes in, it's going to move like lightning. I'm telling you, you're going to move from Jacob to Israel in a single moment's time. Your name is going to get changed. Your identity will be changed. You're going to get baptized in true royalty with the seven spirits of God, and all of its glory is going to immediately start manifesting in you, to you, and through you in the earth. The ability to rule and reign with him will be immediately given to you. It's not going to do away with the first. You have always the early reign with you. He's adding something to that generation. He specifically said, not for your generation. There's another one coming. That's us. We need to awaken to who we are, where we are, what time is it. The 70 years have been doubly confirmed. You don't know that? Go and listen to it. We are in direct touchdown season of the arrival of the crown in glory. It is the king. He's going to bring out his crown. And he's going to reveal himself through the seven spirits of God. He'll still remain invisible to the world, but not to us. And we will show the visibility of his house into the earth. Let's give God glory. Amen.